Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later this hour. Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans coaching search with him. Pickskin Pick'em at 8:30 today on the program as well. We got Indiana, Oregon coming up tonight in the college football playoff semifinal. The winner will take on Miami in the national championship game, and it is wild card weekend in the NFL as well. So a lot going on in the show today. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked a lot about head coaching possibilities for the Tennessee Titans. There are also, in addition to the large number of head coaching possibilities that are out there, pretty interesting options at offensive coordinator as well, and including, I think, a lot of people's dream pairing. I've heard Herndon talk about this a few months ago. I think you've talked about this some. I mean, Mike McDaniel is now out down in Miami. Robert Saleh, the Saleh-McDaniel duo that we've talked about before, of maybe bringing in Saleh as head coach, McDaniel as offensive coordinator, technically now on the table for the Titans and other teams. Joe, what do you make of that and the offensive minds that are out there in terms of, if they're not head coaches, maybe on the list for the Titans to be an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, well, you start there, and this is where I need to try to check my bias and be sure, because, look, let's be honest. We want Mike McDaniel this time because he's freaking hilarious, and, like, it wouldn't matter who the head coach is. Like, this would be like must see presser every week. I think he's freaking hilarious. But seriously, I think he is one of the best offensive minds in football. I really do. And I think he failed as a head coach, and I don't doubt that some of that goes on him. I don't necessarily. I think for the most part, he seemed to handle things pretty well. Some of the stuff with Tua, that maybe he would do things differently. But I think Tua, like, it's just difficult, right? Yeah. And so I mostly don't. I guess my question would be, is there a team out there who still would have a lot of understanding for how that all went down and be like, actually, I still think he can be a head coach? My guess is he's probably going to be an OC next year. And I know Detroit has reached out to him. I think that's brilliant of Detroit. I mean, with their skill and especially what he does with the running game. Yeah, that was a big draw for Liam Cohen, right? Is like what he did in Tampa with the Bucs and the running game. And I think that's another thing with run concepts with Mike McDaniel. No question that I just think he's like legitimately one of those guys who's ahead of the curve schematically. And I think it would be a slam dunk. So, but Detroit's in there. A lot of teams are going to be in there, right? If it's that, then you get into, is there a head coach pairing? I'm not saying you hire a head coach that would get you Mike McDaniel. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, like, if you talk to a Saleh, and there, obviously those guys have a past, like, if that's something that, like, Saleh's all into, and those guys all talk to each other. Man, I, to me, that just, I'm sorry, that just makes Saleh more attractive as a potential head coach. He's already, well, he was number one on my list. I did say yesterday that I've switched to Stefanski as my number one.
Okay.
But I will also now flip-flop and just keep waffling like a politician and say that if it's Saleh McDaniel, then okay, that's my number one.
Well, part of, and Mike Borgonzi talked about this in his media availability the other day. Like, all these guys come into the interview and they're ready for the interview, right? Like, they are prepared for the questions that they're going to be asked on the interview. And one of the first things you start talking about is, like, if you're hired, what's the type of staff that you can put together? And then it's your job as a general manager and as decision makers in the organization to really evaluate, all right, that's great. His staff that he's thrown together on paper or in his head sounds awesome. How realistic is it that he's able to actually get those people, right? Because a lot of people you're dealing with could be under contract. I mean, it's just a whole mess. I mean, I would, if it's Saleh, I would at least feel good about how there's a connection there between Saleh and McDaniel, and that doesn't necessarily guarantee that he would come with Saleh at that point, but there's at least a demonstrated working relationship there where you would assume those two, and by all accounts, those two do get along pretty well. So, like, I think you feel better about something like that if you're Borgonzi trying to sift through, like, what's realistic in terms of these candidates and the staff building that they're able to throw out there, rather than what's just sounds good in a job interview.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's where it's interesting. It's like, again, you know, these guys talk to each other, so, but at the same time, they all have to go and talk to different people and figure out what's better. They all have so many different questions about these potential jobs, these potential employers, the front office, the ownership, obviously the quarterback and the roster and things like that. So yeah, like I guess it's like, do you, if you're like Saleh in an interview with the Titans, do you say, yeah, I mean, Mike and I've talked, you know, like, I think I can get Mike, you know?
You probably do if you feel
like,
that way.
yeah. It's like, okay, well, can we FaceTime him right now? Can we get some confirmation of this? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe some people disagree with me. I know when a head coach fails at a place, and I know some people look at him and be like, oh, that nerd, he can't coach football. Man, I think he's legitimately one of the guys right now who's in front of people, you know, and everybody copies each other, and everybody people have stretches of time, and then they fall back. Chip Kelly, you know, but I think he would be a slam dunk, and I just think he's a really smart guy. I'm trying to think of other. You know, I mean, he's going to have, again, he could be very intrigued and be like, yes, Goff and St. Brown and those guys. I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, if you guys can fix your offensive line, we'll score 35 a game next year. You know, it may just be as simple as that. Like, give me the best personnel situation. If that's what it is, then, you know, he's not going to compare the Titans favorably to that. But how much does the relationship matter? How much does it matter? I don't know Dan Campbell from, you know, from anybody else, but I know Saleh, and that's a solid relationship, and that matters. I mean, you know, how much do things like this matter compared to other things?
Yeah, and it's not just McDaniel. I mean, we've talked about Kingsbury. Like, I would be pretty stunned
Yeah.
if Cliff Kingsbury gets a job as a head coach this cycle.
Yep.
He's clearly not going back to Washington. So, as an offensive coordinator, I mean, this was depend on who you hire. I don't know how many of these coaches out there have a relationship with Cliff Kingsbury to the point where they would be like, yeah, come bring him in as our offensive coordinator. And also, like, we have seen, Joe, like, you don't necessarily need a pre-existing relationship with the person to for them to be your offensive coordinator. Like, I understand it was a different situation, but Vrabel did not have a pre-existing relationship with Matt LaFleur when he named him the offensive coordinator. It just kind of happened that way. So
He
doesn't
didn't have a
necessarily.
post-existing relationship with him either.
Yeah, he didn't.
So,
So
yeah.
no pre, no
Get out of
post.
here, nerd.
We'll see you later, dude. Yeah. So like, it doesn't necessarily even have to be somebody that's closely connected to Kingsbury for them to hire Kingsbury, but there are other names out there too on the offensive coordinator front that are intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, Dayball is,
Dayball, yep.
you know, a guy who's, you know, I just, with him, it's just, I don't know, man. I feel like he is just a little bit too much of a hothead, you know? It just based on how some things went down with him and his coordinators with New York, that's just a big personality you're bringing in. Is it worth what he brings, you know, to the job? Maybe it is. I mean, I think he's good. Certainly wouldn't dismiss it. And obviously, there's a lot of young guys. I mean, Skyler points out, you know, Saleh having ties to Shanahan tree makes me feel good, even if we can't get McDaniel. He can always take a piece from under Shanahan for OC. We talked about Mike LaFleur yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Rams OC thing where it's like, okay, now it's time to go to a place where you can call plays, and that could work out well too. I'll also say, I mean, technically, I mean, isn't Brian Callahan part of that tree? I mean,
Technically.
I guess it's like down the branches a little bit, but did not work out well.
Do you want him
Just
as
in case
OC?
anybody forgot, well, there'd be familiarity. Imagine if
Would you
that
have to pay him as OC?
happened. Yeah, it can
They're
just
already
be
paying
like,
him as head coach.
that's a good point. Like, just okay, man, you can be the OC, and like, you're just going to continue to get your pay that we already had to pay you. Is that cool? I mean, actually, he'd probably take it if it's between that and being like a, you know, quality control coach in Cincinnati. I don't know. I assume that's where he'll reemerge, right?
That would be my guess on where he'll reemerge, but I guess I could be wrong on that front. What's going to be interesting is, like, does Bill Callahan reemerge?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I would assume yes, but I don't know that.
Yeah, well, and I wonder if that's where it's like, which of course it's so funny because it was the biggest thing in the world. It's like the best thing about hiring Brian Callahan is we know who the O-line coach is going to be, right? Although remember it was all this stuff about like somehow, he was going to stay in Cleveland. Is that a package deal now? Is it
Who
Brian?
is your daddy and what does he do?
Like does Bill Callahan basically like I will keep coaching if you will also hire my son? And does
Maybe.
someone think enough of Bill Callahan to be like, yeah, we'll take Brian on as assistant QB coach to get Bill Callahan as our O-line coach? Hell yes. I bet you that's the only way we see Bill Callahan coaching anymore in this league is if he is part of the same staff as Brian.
That's an interesting thought. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans head coaching search coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game.
Well, I was texting with Mike McDaniel a little bit ago, and I can tell you that he definitely came out of this shocked and I would say saddened, but quickly kind of turned the page to where he's pretty fired up about whatever's coming next, said that he feels like he got a shot of steroids to his football mind, very Mike McDaniel thing to say,
Sure is.
in the sense that he just feels ready. He said it's on. And I think that the question then becomes, are we looking at potential head coaching vacancies? Cleveland Browns reportedly interested in potential bringing him in. But then obviously there's going to be a lot of teams that are looking at him as a potential offensive coordinator.
That's Jeff Darlington from ESPN discussing Mike McDaniel, who was fired by the Miami Dolphins yesterday. By the way, how about working for that owner? Just he kind of is all over the place. Stephen Ross, my goodness. There's got to be a little part of Mike McDaniel that's like, I mean, obviously I don't want to get fired, but kind of glad to be away from Stephen Ross.
Oh yeah. No, he's high on that list of buyer beware when with all the stuff that's gone on with him. Now it's an interesting thing with there with McDaniel in Cleveland. Like I said, hey, somebody could talk themselves into him as a head coach. I'm suspecting he has to be an OC, but we'll see. There's a lot of openings.
Would you consider him for head coach for the Titans?
That's what's interesting too. It's like is it like showing, even if you aren't, is that what you do? You interview him as a head coach
Maybe.
because you're showing that respect that you would consider that, and then you're hoping that he might end up being your OC.
Well, look, there are some candidates out there that, like, I understand you can't operate this way. But if you just want to go by record, right? Like, record as a head coach, there are some candidates out there that they are interviewing that are clearly not as accomplished as he is as a head coach, right? Like, I mean, look, it's not like he lit the world on fire in Miami, but he was 35 and 33 as head coach with the Dolphins. That's over 500. It's not anything spectacular. It's not like they had any sort of postseason success to speak of. I understand all that. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, he's got a better record than Robert Saleh had. I understand Saleh was with the Jets. He's got a better record than Arthur Smith had at Atlanta. I understand the situation there. I'm just saying, like, I think some people would look at the idea of interviewing Mike McDaniel as head coach and be like, are you crazy? Why would you do that? And then in the same breath, you're looking at some of these other coaches who are getting interviews who are worse head coaches than him by the number.
Yeah, no, it's a very fair point, especially considering his QB situation. Skylar Thompson and what, Snoop and all these different people he's had to put under center, and Tua, not, I mean, Tua's a huge disappointment, and it's not Tua's fault that he has all the injury issues, but even without the injuries. Now, I guess then you say, okay, well, why couldn't Mike McDaniel get more out of Tua with all his talent? So you could go around and around, but you're right. In general, the idea that that's just a non-starter, I seriously, I really think some of it is like, look at Saleh. That dude could kick your ass. He's 6'5". 250. And he's a football guy. It's Mike McDaniel. He should be in the back with the analytics people. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, he looks
like
like he
they're
was should have been cast in Oppenheimer working on the bomb. Yeah, like it's
right. Yeah, but no, I he obviously like can tie his shoes and as a head coach could keep some things together and did all right. So yeah, that's interesting. Like, and even if you're him, maybe who knows? I mean, so there are some coaches that are like, you know what? I think I'd like a couple of years of just like designing offense, and I got half the team calling plays, and then let's see if there's not a head coaching job that he loves. Because Darlington sitting there talking about Cleveland, but I got to think a lot of people are looking at Cleveland also with like a little side eye and like I don't know, man, with ownership and all that stuff there too. So it's a really interesting situation. But to me, if I'm a franchise out there, I'd want some kind of conversation with Mike McDaniel right now. And have him involved in some way because I think he's one of the good, strong minds in football right now.
I agree. I mean, like I said, we're at the point of the coaching search, Joe, where, they're 13, 14 names deep at this point. And I think more clarity will be had this weekend from the standpoint of, all right, the wild card games are coming up. What happens in these games? Like, so what happens if Green Bay loses to Chicago? I think LaFleur's okay, but I don't know that. What happens if Buffalo loses to Jacksonville? What do they do with Sean McDermott? If they fire Sean McDermott, what does that mean for John Harbaugh? Because that'd be a pretty attractive job to me if I'm John Harbaugh. So if he takes that job, how does that affect the rest of the coaching pool? I mean, you're already, I think, eight jobs are open. So that's eight of 32 teams. A quarter of the league has a job open right now. So you're dealing with a pretty extensive pool of candidates anyway. I think we're going to find out some more clarity this weekend of, are there more jobs that are going to be added to that list? Or is this capped at what it's going to be? And there are eight jobs open. That I didn't even bring up, like the Tomlin situation in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And Charles pointed out yesterday, I mean, Charles, I think, is kind of thinking along the lines you're thinking, which is LaFleur's probably going to be back, whether he gets an extension or not, he's probably going to be back next year. But McDermott, and this is a stat I didn't know until Charles brought it up on our show, but if they lose to the Jags, he's going to be 0-6 in the playoffs on the road. And yes, one of those was the ridiculous Mahomes comeback, but that's still a defensive failing, by the way. I mean, that's. I think that could really lead to something. And then you talk about more than a quarter of the jobs in this league open. Speaking of Harbaugh, by the way, so our Ian O'Connor at The Athletic, he's New York based, very heavily, writes a lot about the New York teams. And then Dan Dugan, who covers the Giants for us, they obviously the Giants are all over Harbaugh, right? O'Connor put Titans as his second most likely landing spot. Now, again, I don't know. And Dugan said that that's the one that, and he sort of followed up and said that's the one people are sleeping on that, but you shouldn't sleep on it, which I thought was interesting. I mean, again, I don't see an interview happening with him right now. So, I mean, unless that were to be, but Harbaugh is also holding off right now. So I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, and I'm like, what? Like, where does that come from? Is that just speculation, or is that, is there something that someone told someone that maybe, again, maybe Harbaugh loves Cam Ward and country music. I don't know.
Well, it could be. Also, like one thing I'm wondering is he going to have to be the first domino that drops in this? Like, are people going to be waiting on, like, where he goes to then reevaluate what all the other jobs look like? I mean, look, I don't know. Like, if you're Cleveland, are you waiting on John Harbaugh? Probably not, right? Like,
Right.
if
Some
you're
of them will,
Arizona, you're
yeah, go
probably not
about,
waiting on John Harbaugh.
exactly. Some of them will go about their business, but yeah, I think with some of those jobs, I think for sure, it's a fight for him, and whoever gets him, then you go to Stefanski, probably, at least with some teams. So, but are the Titans moving on? Are they just, we're not gonna, he won't talk to it, whatever. We're thinking about it, or are the Titans still hoping to get in there and get FaceTime with them?
Keith on the text line says, knowing the Titans with all these exciting names available, we'll end up hiring Mike McCoy or Jason Garrett. Which one would cause PK a bigger fit, Mike McCoy or Jason Garrett?
So I will say this, like you made a good point on behalf of Mike McDaniel, and I think Mike McCarthy is another one that fans roll their eyes and groan, but it's like, well, hold on. Now I may have been a little tough on Jason Garrett, given, what he's done. I mean, he has, I have to give him, I think, some credit for Dak, right? Sure. Does he get some credit for that? The biggest problem I have with him is the time away.
Yeah, coach, it's 7 years.
It's a long time away, and I guess maybe I'm just also holding against him that he never tells me anything on TV that's remotely interesting, but. But what he's done, I mean, he's certainly a better candidate. Like Heath is putting Mike McCoy with him. I think he probably deserves a little bit more respect than that.
I would agree. Trevor on the text line says, if the Steelers get bounced, are they going to part ways with Tomlin? And there's another big name to go after at that point. I don't know.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, look, what are they doing at quarterback, right? Like, is Will Howard in the back of their mind the answer moving forward? Probably not. Is Rodgers coming back for another year? My guess is if Rodgers is coming back for another year, that's probably entirely dependent upon Mike Tomlin being there because he freaking loves Mike Tomlin. So I don't know. I guess that now that they've won the division and made the playoffs, it feels like that ship has sailed, but if you ask a Steelers fan, Joe, I mean, they make the playoffs all the time. When's the last time they did anything in the playoffs?
If it were up to the fans, I still think a lot of Steelers fans are ready. They're like, okay, see, the Ravens did it, and sometimes it's just time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, it's our time to do that, too. And, yeah, I do think that if the Texans come in there and just toss them around and hold them to 10 points, and then I think from the fan perspective, there will be a heavy sentiment of like, okay, Let's be like the Ravens, two great stable organizations that still understand that sometimes you just have to change voices. And if that's the case, like if that's how ownership actually feels,
right?
What a cycle! it's already one of the wildest cycles I can recall. But if you had Tomlin and Harbaugh on the same one, holy cow!
Yep, 615-737-1025. Our phone number. It is Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Which teams have the most to prove this weekend? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We've got the Steelers taking on the Texans. Jacksonville hosting the Bills. The Patriots hosting the Chargers on the AFC side of things. In the NFC, the Panthers and the Rams. The Eagles and the 49ers, and the Bears hosting the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night. So, John, throw this question at you. Who, it can be a team, it can be an individual, whichever way you want to take it. Who to you has the most to prove this weekend on Wild Card Weekend?
Well, I think I have to go with Josh Allen and the Bills. Right. I look, people are rightfully to me looking at the AFC playoff picture and who's not part of it this year and saying, dude, you guys have got to go to the Super Bowl. So I think they're the clear. I think those two are the clear number one. And some people would separate them and say Josh Allen has played great in the playoffs. Now, he hasn't always played great, but overall he has good playoff numbers and he's had some tremendous performances. So you can't, put it all on him or make this a referendum on, his career. But at the same time, people do that with Lamar Jackson. So, and Lamar Jackson has had some tremendous playoff performances, too, and some stinkers. But most of his stinkers were earlier. I think Josh Allen and the Bills are the team that I would look at. There's obviously, you have a different kind of prove yourself, which is, Patriots – and Broncos, prove that you weren't just sort of like a emperor with no clothes this year, right? A little bit. Especially the Patriots, I think. Even though they're not the one seed, but, they did have an easy schedule. But the Broncos, the number one seed. So I think there's that. But also, I expect both of those teams to have more cracks at this later. And the Bills thing may be ending, as we've been talking about, at least in terms of McDermott and a totally new regime in there with Josh Allen. So I think they're the easy number one. I don't know that there's a close second.
I don't know if there's close second either. I mean, there's different types of it. Like, Pittsburgh, obviously, it's been a while since they've won a playoff game and made a semi-deep run here. And we just talked about the Tomlin stuff. Like, that's its own kind of thing heading into all this. Like, I mean, look, LaFleur with the Packers. Like, I'm interested to see. They've got a ton of injuries, obviously, but they've got a decision to make coming up as to whether or not they're going to extend him. Like, if you lose this game, that ain't going to help you in those conversations. So I would add him to the list. I mean,
Yeah.
the Rams did not, I don't know that there's necessarily pressure, but Stafford's career is winding down. Now, he may have just had the best year of his career, but he's not playing that much longer. So you've got an opportunity here with a team that's pretty loaded. You get what we think is a gift playing against the Panthers. You're a 10.5-point favorite in this game. You better not blow that. I mean, you're going
Yeah.
on the road. You're going on the road across the country, so don't blow that this weekend and lose in the first round to the Panthers. So, like, I think there's plenty to prove this weekend. There are different types of it. I think, to your point, Allen and the Bills for sure have the most pressure. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, like the Rams is yeah, like this week is like yeah, you better not screw it up type pressure. And I look at the Eagles, and it's like it's a really interesting thing the way different people are looking at them right now. I could make the case with that defense. It's playoff time. Everybody's gonna be locked in. Put all the crap aside. In the regular season, when you have a team that's used to having deep runs and you have some of these personality clashes, and frankly, when you have AJ Brown, like you're going to have some turmoil and stuff, but I can see them locking in and going on another run. But if they don't, if it's like if it was too much for them, all this stuff, you have to look at it and say, so like what happened this year with like Saquon Barkley after what how amazing it was last year? Why and Jalen Hurts and just the offense? Why is it so clunky with really a lot of the same pieces? And just it's just that has got to be the most still like questioned, like coaching head coach and coaching staff for the achievement they've had, right? Just because of how weird some of the stuff has gone on, and he's fired some people and obviously missed some people he lost, but it's like, dude, they're the defending Super Bowl champs, and yet it doesn't feel like that at times. So I'm fascinated by the Eagles and how they come out, and whether they have a run in them, or whether it's like, again, they got the ring last year anyway. But is this going to be start to lead to, like, if they just come out and lose to the Niners at home, what kind of changes are we talking about in Philly?
We got a vote in the Bills game the other way for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor
Okay.
Lawrence, we've talked about. He's played really well down the stretch here. Playoff time comes around. What is that going to look like? Like, has he turned a corner in his career, or is he just on a nice 8-game run right now where he's playing really well under a new coach? And we've seen that before with him playing really well under a new coach, and he was not able to sustain it. So, playoffs against the Bills, you're at home against a defense that's been very hit or miss this year in Buffalo. We'll see what that looks like in this game. I think the over under is 51.5 on that one. So they're expecting some points to be scored in that game. I do think, like, if Trevor Lawrence comes out there and plays really well in this game, that's more of a signal of, yeah, maybe he has taken that next step under Liam Cohen here.
Yeah, and I mean, I like that point in terms of if it goes bad, because remember, we were all, oh, they figured it out. Doug Peterson has figured out Trevor Lawrence, and they beat the Chargers. And remember, the Titans gifted them a playoff spot that year in the first place. But then it just kind of goes back to, yeah, nah, maybe not. It does look different to me this year. It does seem like he's taken another step and that Liam Cohen has unlocked some things. But yeah, if they come out and just get thumped by the Bills, then we're going to be talking about that again. Like, okay, great. So every once in a while, Trevor Lawrence can look better and they can have re regular season success, but he's still a mid quarterback and you're never going to like make a serious run with him. Whether that's true or not, that's what people will say.
I'll throw another one at you. Justin Herbert, I think we all recognize the physical ability that he has, the numbers that he's put up. He's obviously a very good quarterback. But, like, Herbert's always thrown around with, like, some of the elite guys in the league. It's like, well, at some point, don't you need to win a playoff game if you're Justin Herbert? And look, I get that they're the 7 seed, and I get that they've had a lot of injuries that they've had to sort through this year, particularly on the offensive line. But if they go out there again and lose again, and he's still without a playoff win, I mean, at some point, you're looking at him being like, okay, is he ever going to win in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, I think that he has the built-in excuse this year. They have the built-in excuse this year. But yeah, no, I mean, he's another, certainly another quarterback who at some point, as each year goes, it builds and builds. And again, I think this is one where you and I differ on. I think he's got a real shot here to shut some people up and, you know, make a few plays that could make the difference. Because I do think the Chargers can hold the Patriots down in this game with their defense. But we'll see. But he's certainly another guy who, at some point, it's like, okay. And also that and then you could take it to the bigger picture with just the Chargers.
Yeah.
Which is, as a child, I can tell you, like, we should have seen Dan Fouts in multiple Super Bowls, and we were robbed of that opportunity. But you go through the years with what they've had and what they've not done. They did get to the one Super Bowl and got crushed by the Niners. My gosh, who the heck was their quarterback? They had Butts running the ball, and I don't, was it, who that was, it Stan Humphries at quarterback for the freaking Chargers at that point? Like, yep. The one time they don't have a good quarterback, they make one Super Bowl. But the franchise history of failing in the postseason is actually amazing.
It really is. When you factor in Fouts and Rivers and Tomlinson and Breeze. Herbert and Breeze and, like, all the names that they've had there, it's pretty incredible that they've never, like, put it together for 1 year to win a Super Bowl.
Stan Humphries, good God.
Yeah, long time ago.
Could barely throw a football.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, how stunned are you going to be if the Panthers win this game? We've talked about the Saints game, like the Saints-Seahawks game from whenever that was, like 2010 or whenever that was.
Yeah.
That was crazy. This one to me would be pretty crazy.
That was crazy. This game. That was crazy, but like that was also like there was some elements of what was going to be a great defense, right? Yeah. And also it's an amazing atmosphere. So this to me would be crazier for sure. And I hope we get a good game, but the Panthers actually winning, I mean, they really aren't a team worth being in. I mean, you should be screaming about the NFL playoff rules, the fact that they're even in the playoff. But
well, they should be hosting a home game.
But I digress. Well, that is, yes, we can agree with that. I guess the fact that they're hosting it at least makes it worth kind of glimpsing at tomorrow. Like, okay, you guys got it. The old 3:30 Saturday game. That's usually the AFC South's total domain, you know. So congratulations,
they did beat the Rams
South.
Earlier this year.
They did.
31-28.
They did, yeah. I hope that's a game. I don't think it will be. I do think that all the other game. Well, I hope that's a game, and I hope that the, to me, unfortunate choice for the Monday night game is a game, because I have my doubts. But the Steelers at home. The Steelers, you know, you start playing some sticks really loud on the PA system, and you got that defense flying around, and maybe they, you know, Rodgers can find some magic. But those two games, to me, both could be thumpings. I think the other four have a real, like, I'll be disappointed if they're not good games. I guess the Eagles are 5.5-point favorites, but I still think the Niners can make a run at that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know what? I think I'm going to choose violence today. Nah, you better not lose this football game as I sit in the pool.
Are these morons getting dumber or just louder?
So you come right in glazing Vrabel, huh? Just Vrabel glazing.
Here's a man that has touched the hem of Jesus.
I'm going to sound like I'm inside a, you know, a toilet right now, probably, for one thing, so.
You want to fight, sonny? You want to fight? You come in here and play your music?
Hey, if you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
Hey, buddy. You freaking jackass.
It's Friday, gotta get down on-
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joseph, the floor is yours.
More tremendous sound bites that will live in infamy forever. That's good to know. So I'm going to rant about you.
Okay.
And Ryan from Chicago. Because when we, you know, as I told you guys on our text line, I said this on, I said this on Sunday. I said, you guys are like, oh, this might be, I don't know, we might win. Oh, you might win. I'm in a tough game. I said on the text, on our text, I said, stop sandbagging. This better be pure bleep talk between you two for the next week. I mean, we get Bears-Packers rips, and I like to rip the Bears too. In fact, Ian, do you have the sound? I keep sending you the sound of my friend Isaac. I mean, do you have that by chance bleeped out?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to doubt he's got that right now. Well, no.
Well, Keezer had that in the system at some point, but all right. I am going to request that before the end of the show that we can play it. And if I'm
– what's his
if
name? I'm being, Isaac?
Yeah, he's my – yeah, I shouldn't say him. I mean, I'm not like close friends with him. He passed away of cancer, but he was one of the great fans – and probably the best Detroit fan there was. And his hatred for the Bears was a beautiful thing. I can send it again. But regardless, I get in there and rip the Bears a little bit. But like all year long, you guys rip each other. You rip the Bears. He rips the Packers. And this week it's like, gee, it should be a good game. I don't know. I mean, what is happening here? Are you both afraid that your team's going to lose? Is that what it is? Are you afraid to put yourself out there and say to the world, like, we are going to kick your ass? I mean, this is time for trash talk. And also, are you doing a bet or not? I keep hearing from Corey Curtis, you painting your nails, but I haven't heard you, like, you know, like, accept the bet. I mean, what's going on here? Do you not have faith in your Packers?
I mean, first off, no. Their coach is Matt LaFleur. I've been trying to tell you guys this for years. So, no, I do not have faith in the Packers. Yeah, I mean, like, yes, I guess that bet has been agreed to. That bet was suggested without me present. But I think on Wednesday after the show, I agreed to it.
You did so, agree? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think it's happening. Well, that's good. Like, if the Packers win, he's got a cheesehead coming for the next show. And then I get my nails painted at some point if the Bears win.
Yeah. Okay. So cheesehead for him. I mean, really.
I feel like I got by far the worst end of that deal.
Yeah. No, you did. I'm trying to think. It should be like cheesehead, but also you have to eat like a block of Limburger or something like that.
Yeah.
Not just the cheese. Anybody can do a cheesehead. Yeah, the painting the nails. And I did hear him say, so we're painting the nails Bears colors then? Is that?
I believe that is correct.
I did. Okay. So you're willing to like do that. You're willing to like come on the show, show it off on the.
And then quickly get it off of there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if Ryan from Chicago is listening. Again, if Michelle's listening, again, I implore you to not be a Bears fan in your life. You know, you can still support Ryan and not support his trash franchise that everybody in the world should hate. But that's a different story. It's great. I love the trash talk, and it's just very where's his confidence? You know, okay, fine. You rip LaFleur, you're consistent with that. You have some doubts. How is he not confident? How is he not out here absolutely talking trash every day? It's kind of weak, man. This is the time to do it.
Well, I think if you're a Bears fan, there's history here that, you know, doesn't go well for you in the playoffs against the Packers. So we'll see what happens on that front.
But Johnson.
I know.
Caleb Williams.
I know.
Come on.
I look, in all seriousness, I don't really know how the Packers are favored in this game. They are on the road. They're a 1.5-point favorite, so it's not like they're some heavy favorite. But, like, go look at their – I mean, they're missing their star tight end, their best pass rusher, who's one of the five best players probably in all of the league. Like, it's – I don't really know how they're favored in this game, but apparently they are.
Yeah, because basically what that's saying is, and again, I don't know if that means – I don't know, has the money moved it that way, or has it basically been
– No, they've been the favorite from the start, yeah.
So that's basically Vegas saying they're 4.5 5 points better.
I mean, Orlovsky hopped on ESPN yesterday and said, quote, I think the Packers win and the Packers win handily. That's what Orlovsky said, friend of the show.
It's interesting. I will say, because I watched the last two Bears games, the Niners game and the Lions game, and I think their D stinks. I know the Lions game wasn't high scoring, but their D, like, they couldn't stop. You know, they got a couple red zone stops.
Yeah.
And a field goal miss, but like their D in the last two games has just basically just been, you know, dragged up and down the field. So I think that's where your guy who has had success in the playoffs should have the edge over his counterpart, even though they don't play against each other. Like that's probably where it comes from. But I'm with you. I mean, the injuries are rough and the Packers defense totally changes when you take out Parsons.
I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, of the games this weekend, I mean, they've already played each other twice. They've both been really good games. So my guess is it's probably going to be another really good game, right? Like, you know, it's probably going to come down to the wire. Both of them did at this point. I don't know if it's going to be the best game of the weekend. Like, I think Buffalo-Jacksonville has a chance to be really good. I think San Francisco-Philadelphia has a chance to be really good. So I don't know the Bears-Packers will be the best game of the weekend, but the two that they played so far this year have been really darn good games. So I would expect the third one to be the same.
Okay, sub rant, YouTube chat. K-Dod says, painted nails, and that's not a punishment. I have mine painted currently. And then he says, manicures feel great. Sue me. Okay, so Katie and Caroline got me to do, I think I've talked about this, got me to do a pedicure one time, and it was an awful, horrific experience.
Yeah.
Pain and tickling on my feet and scrubbing. I was like, never again. I've never had a manicure. But is that what a manicure is? You get your nails painted with a manicure?
Oh, I'm sure that may be part of it. But like, my wife's been begging me to get a pedicure for years, and I just will not do it. I don't really like the idea of other people touching my feet. Just be frank with you.
I think I have a foot thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we went through a large period of time early in the show's history where there were some listeners that were pretty obsessed with your feet.
That is true. I forgot about, please remind me. Please remind me.
Well, there was Heidi and Dixon.
Heidi from Dixon. Heidi from Dixon had not just a foot fetish, a foot Rex fetish.
Which I think we later found out Heidi from Dixon wasn't a real person. It was actually some dude that was in like jail somewhere. So there's also that.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
It was someone who was actually incarcerated?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, man.
We are all about our incarcerated friends listening to the show, too.
Absolutely. And if the thought of my glistening feet got you through a day, you know what? Then that's what they're here for. Okay?
Didn't expect the Rex rant to go this way.
Wow.
Back into the foot fetish.
All of a sudden, Rex Ryan is turning his radio his up dial. In the car. Whoa, what are we talking about here?
I mean, Rex, where's he at? He lives in Nolensville, doesn't he?
He does. He's he's down my way. Absolutely. So we got a lot of celebs and foot lovers down here. Oh, God.
Celebs, foot lovers, we got everything you need down here.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, so a manicure, I'm not opposed to a manicure, I guess. I chew my nails. I'm a nail chewer. So it'd probably be a lot of work, but I guess I didn't realize that there's a painting that's part of that. I assume that's optional.
You're asking the wrong person.
To me, well, if you lose, what you should do is you should insist that it's not just you putting some polish in your, like, you get a manicure out of it.
I think
that's fair. Yeah. Like, if you have to paint your nails Bears colors, then it should be part of a manicure. And then you can tell us if a manicure is good. I've already told you a pedicure is gross and disgusting. Don't ever do it. Although if we ever get a sponsor who does pedicures, I would gladly change my mind. Yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the latest on the Titans coaching search. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.